On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
What do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach successful?
I think you got to show confidence in whatever you do. You got to be confident. And the higher you go, the more confidence you got to have. Because players will eat you alive if you show any type of weakness. You know how players are. They will then joke with you and laugh. But if you don't show no confidence, even if you don't know a lot of stuff, if you show your confidence, they won't believe in what you're saying, and they will trust you. But if you show up, I learned that my first spring training in the United States. I was a kid from the Dominican, show up to stretch, and I didn't know where like place the cones right, and nobody told me nothing, and I was a little scared. You know, it was guys from low A and guys from high A there, and they told me, like, hey, man, what the fuck? You know, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing? And that's where I was like, okay, make sure, you know, over-prepare again. Make sure that you got everything, go through your mind, every little scenario that can happen, and just have confidence in you. And be you, man. Like, the reason why I say be yourself is you're going to have a lot of people around you that I'm not going to be like you. And you're going to have people that are going to do the job that you're doing in a different way. They probably don't like to joke that much. They probably don't like to talk to the players that much. And they keep everything so separate and so what they call professional. In terms, I'm not like that. You know, I'm a guy that I'm going to earn players' trust. Yeah, I'm not going to be talking to a player 24 hours, but I'm a little different on that. I like to enjoy it. I like to joke around with players during the stretch or in the weight room. I like to keep things loose, especially, you know, when you work for a team that wins a lot of games and under a lot of pressure every day. The last thing you want is to put more pressure on them whenever they're in the weight room or stretch or anything. So just be yourself. You know, some people don't like it probably sometimes, but if players, I tell guys this, players don't care how much you know about X and Y and training methods and supplements. They care really if you care about them. That's the only thing they care about. Yeah, you have to be prepared to ask them some questions when players come to you. And we all have players that are smart, and they come to you and be like, hey, what about if I do this exercise with this? It's not going to cost me anything. And you have to be ready to answer those questions or about supplements or about prep routines or everything. But you got to show them that you care about them. You know, don't look at players as something that they're there to play baseball and to collect data from. They're not like that. You know, they're human beings, and they want to make sure that you care about them. When they see that you care just about the numbers and the data and all this stuff, they're not going to trust you. Even if they act like they like you, trust them. They don't. So that's what I tell all the coaches. Be yourself, have confidence, and be happy. You know, try to be happy and project, you know, good energy to all the people.
There's a lot to unpack there. The first part, the confidence aspect, right? And like, when you first get in, the other coaches that have been around, you know, you're new, you have no idea what's going on. And, you know, specifically for me, like with the Pirates, we had some guys that had been around, they're a little older. And then, you know, one of the guys there, specifically Joe Hughes, he was the master of like putting you in an environment and knowing where you were going to mess up and just letting you learn from your mistakes, right? And you would do something, you think you were great. And then he'd be like, did you think about this? And you're like, no. And he was like, well, in the future, this might happen. So you need to think about this, right? So like learning to see everything from a bunch of different angles. And like I said, we had whistles there, and you know, the first stretch, like you could tell I was not confident in what I was doing. You could just hear it in the whistle, right? Like the whistle's not gonna lie. And I can very specifically remember at the end of one of the days, like I was so frustrated. And, you know, the staff was kind of getting on me and whatever. And I went out to one of the backfields and I would just practice blowing the whistle. And as ridiculous as it sounds, right? Like if you don't have the confidence, you almost have to fake the confidence, right? And you have to outwardly exude that I am confident in what I'm doing. And to the that extent, right? Like at the time, I thought the staff was picking on me because I'm the new guy, you know, I'm not going to make it, whatever. But they were just trying to prepare me for moving down the road and working with older players and like being able to be confident in myself and my abilities. And so for young coaches listening, like if somebody gets on you, you shouldn't take it personal, right? Like we're all just trying to help. And then, you know, the players specifically, I can remember my first year with the Red Sox. One of the big, you know, big name guys was kind of walking off from the field. From conditioning, and all the other guys like, hey, go grab him. I'm like, all right, whatever, I'll go grab. And they all knew that he wasn't going to condition. He had already talked to the head guy. I was the double A guy. I was kind of the, you know, the floater. Hey, just cover the conditioning field and don't mess it up. And I went over and he's like, no, I don't have conditioning. And I turned around and they're all laughing at me because they all knew, right? They all knew. But the lesson there, right, is like the guys are going to mess with you. And if I would have crumbled right there, they all knew they had me. And instead I walked over and I was like, all right, good fucking joke. Like, get on the line. It's time to run now. And, you know, it's going to happen, right? Like, and if you take it personal or if you crumble, they got you. They already got you. But if you can handle it, it goes a long way.
And one thing that for the younger coaches there, you got to be able to flip the switch when just make a joke, but all right, let's fucking go right now. We gotta do this. Because if you just joke, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to keep doing, you know, their jokes and they're not going to run or left, whatever. All right, we joke? All right, we got to switch. We got to make sure that we get in the working mindset. Even if we go back to a joke in the next 5-10 minutes, you got to go back again and make sure that you're serious about it. So when you are able, that takes a lot of time to do it. But when you are able to do that, players are going to do everything for you. You probably are not going to have to tell them anything during the lift. They're going to know exactly what to do. But it's because you show them that, all right, you trust me. It's like I talked to a couple of big guys and they're like, One thing I hate, you know, guys have been in the league for 7-8 years. One thing I hate about some strength coaches is that they want to coach every rep. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. But that's you got to be real careful with that because a lot of guys know how to work out and lift and understand every exercise. But a lot of guys, you have to be, even if you watch them from a distance, but you got to be on top of those guys. So. It's just you got to know how to do it and just at the right time, which that's the most difficult thing. But you're right.
And it goes back to something you said right at the beginning of this. You were talking about your journey and everything. And, you know, being at the lower levels, it was doing the basics really well and getting a ton of coaching reps. And yeah. I think some of these things you're talking about are like next level, you know, skills for coaches that you just have to develop with reps. And you can't be afraid to take reps. You can't be afraid to get things wrong. Like I can go through a whole list.
Like for me, I was going to the States working from, let's put it like this. I started camp in the Dominican late January and I finished working December 10th after strength camp in the DR. So I was working 11 months out of 12 months every year. And I did that for 5-6 years or 7 years after I got to that AAA when I stopped going to the Dominican Complex, which they have like 5 strength coaches there now. So that window for me is what really helped me to just have the reps on me right now that made me feel really comfortable about coaching anybody at any level. So there you go right there.
Yeah, the book knowledge is really good. It's really valuable and it shouldn't be discredited. And like you said, you know, you have to understand the X's and O's. You have to understand the supplements and all of that, because there are some of those guys that are going to ask those deeper questions. But ultimately, right, it's how well you connect with the players. And I'm reading this book now, and it was talking about, like, coaching is ultimately just manipulating emotions to get what you want, right? So your job is, and it sounds shitty when you put it that way, right? But ultimately, you're trying to manipulate somebody else to feel a certain way to do something that you want them to do, right? And that's it. And if you can, and sometimes it's really just motivating guys with speeches. Sometimes it's, you know, they need a kick in the ass. Sometimes they don't need anything. They just need you to be there to, you know, listen to them. But figuring out what it is to change those emotions for people so that they will do what you want them to do is ultimately our job, right? As coaches. And like you said earlier, Tim Maxey said, you know, it's 50% motivating guys. It's just different ways to motivate people and figuring that out and being around. And again, sometimes it's joking, but sometimes it's flipping that switch and laying the hammer down. And there are times where, you know how it is, especially conditioning guys. Oh, I don't want to run today. I don't want to do this. And like, I have it to the point where if I, you know, certain guys, I just have to look at them a certain way. I don't have to say shit. And they're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go run now. Right. Yeah. So like it's finding that. And I think, like you said, a lot of that is just getting the coaching reps and really just putting the time in and understanding that it does take time to develop those skills. Right. Like it really does take time. Totally agree with you, man. And then the other side of the, you know, outside of the confidence, you talk about being yourself. And again, like you said, there's so many people on a staff that if you have everybody that just has the same personality, the same philosophy, like it's almost boring, right? It's like, so like you need somebody that's loose. You need somebody that's energetic. We used to have, you know, he left us recently, but, you know, a couple of years ago, he had been our coordinator. He was up in the big leagues. Like, that guy would give you a hug no matter what. COVID, like, hey, nobody's looking. Let's sneak a hug right now, right? Like, just really big energy guy, like, awesome to be around, connected with players. But that was his way of getting guys to do what he needed them to do, right? And, you know, other guys are a lot more serious. They're a lot more dry. They're a lot more focused. And you know, that's okay. But you have to have a good mix of that. And you have to figure out where you fit in that mix and, you know, be who you are, right? And just... that's it. The way I tell like our new staff, right, is like the organization hired you for a reason. We think that you're going to provide value being yourself. So just be yourself. Like, don't try to be somebody else on the staff. Don't try to be me. Don't try to be Kiyoshi or Kirby, Jeff, Ben, Joe, whoever. Don't try to be those guys. Just be who you are and you'll fit in. That's why we hired you, right?
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
So, continuing a little bit on this theme, like, do you have any advice for others in the field? You know, we've talked about young coaches and, you know, any advice that we might have missed for them or the older coaches that are just trying to stay on top of things?
One advice for the young coaches coming up and the guys that probably listen to you and they don't work at their professional level yet is, this is something that Rachel Balkovec used to say to me a lot. And she's one of the people that I consider my mentors when she was a strength coach. Now she's a manager. But she could tell me, don't be afraid to work for free. What I mean by that is not, you don't have to spend your whole life working for free. No. But when you do an internship, you know you're not gonna pay a lot. You know you're not gonna get paid that like all the people get paid. But that's how you start. When I worked for the Astros, my first three months, I didn't get paid almost anything. Like, I was just there basically getting gas money and food. And that's what helped me to get that position as a full-time strength coach when they saw that. People think other teams don't see that. They see that. When they just think that and they just see that, you just care about how much I'm getting paid. And I know strength coaches, we don't get paid a lot compared to other positions. I get it. It's changing, and it has changed a lot in the last 7-8 years because, you know, people like the PBSCCS that do the survey, and that really helped everybody in the baseball. But just don't be afraid to work for free if you're trying to get into this business, because it's going to be worth it. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. My first, I can say that, I don't have a problem, but my first contract as a professional strength coach in the DSL was I was making $14,000 a year. Yeah, it's not big money. In the U.S., that's nothing, but in the DR, that's considered average or right below average. So don't be afraid to just get under it and just grind through it, because you're going to have to if you want to stay here. If you want to just enjoy the nice things about baseball, you probably don't want to do this job, because you got to go through a lot of stuff to be at the top. So that's my only advice that I get. You know, just don't be afraid to knock the door and look for opportunities and tell the people, yeah, I just want to be here. I just want to see what you guys do. I just want to help. If I need to do the water every day, I do the water. If I need to help drag the field, I do everything. So have an open mindset when you're trying to get to this business, because it's going to help a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I still do the water, right? And yeah, the big ones, right? It's not, you know, there's nothing that's below us. And again, you talked about this early on, just doing everything you could with the Red Sox when you're first trying to get in. And I think it's really valuable advice, man. Something that one of the people that I find very close to me told me, it was like, if you want to be in the big leagues, you might have to wait it out, right? And you have to figure out, like, is this worth it to get there or is it not? And like you said, to be honest, it's worth it, right? If somebody's listening and they want to get into pro ball, like, it may take you 20 years to get there, right? But at the end of the day, it's 100% worth it. That 20 years is going to go by faster than you can think. And, you know, like we said earlier, I can remember being in rookie ball and all the days in rookie ball. And now, like, you know, 8, 10, whatever it is years later, like, being in the big leagues, it happens really fast, man. And there are days where it's really tough. There are days where you're going to question it. But ultimately, like, if that's what you want to do, like, you're going to have to go through some stuff that sucks, and you're going to have to really like make some sacrifices. And, you know, that's, we talk about, like, you have to have a little bit of a strange mindset. Yosh and I talk about this all the time, right? Like, to stick around, you got to be crazy, right? You got to be a little bit off in the head, and that's okay. It's all part of it. But if you really do want to get to the big leagues, like, you're going to have to pay your dues. You're going to have to take your lumps. And I think sometimes people get in, and they look at the glamorous side of baseball, right? Like you talk about, and it's like, you have to put that aside and understand the other side of it, right? Now that I've been in professional baseball, I know the other side of pro sports. And so I look at sports differently as a fan. I'm a huge hockey fan and I love the game, but I just view it differently now, right? Because I know everything that goes into the day-to-day behind the scenes, right? I used to just see the game. But now I understand that there's practice, there's travel, there's bags to be packed, there's like clothes to be washed, there's food to be found, like all of these other things that go into the day, I have an appreciation for, right? So as a fan, like, I view the game differently than I used to. And I think some people get into baseball as like, yeah, it's this glamorous thing. I love watching, you know, the Red Sox or the Astros on ESPN, and, you know, Fenway and Minute Maid are so cool. And then you're in low A and you're like in the middle of nowhere and you're like, this isn't the baseball I thought it was, right? And so you have to really like, and that's okay. Sometimes people get in and they have to see that for themselves and it's the hard way and they get out and they move on, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But if your goal is to get to the big leagues, like, you are going to have to go through the worst of the worst to get to the best of the best. It's just the reality of it.
Man, I remember some days, and I'm not ashamed to say this, but I remember some days when I was working at the DSL, and I had to stay at the complex because it just overnight to the next day, because I didn't have enough money to put gas on my car. So I had to stay there 2 or 3 days, you know, just trying to save money. So I was empty. I was not getting paid full time yet. And I was like, hey, can I get a room here just so I can stay here 2 or 3 days a week? And we're like, yeah, we can make that work. So I was doing that a couple of times, and nobody knew I was doing it because I was trying to save money for gas or whatever. And I had to do that because it was part of what I wanted to be. I wanted to be in big leagues. I wanted to be strength coach. So I had to do that in order to accomplish going to high A, going to low A, going to, you know, triple A, be there with those guys. But it's a price that you got to pay. And a lot of people don't know if they want to go through it or not. And when they're going through it, they sometimes they're like, ah, they feel a little pressure and they're like, oh, I'm going to quit. I'm done. I'm going to work in baseball for 2 years. A lot of people just do it so they can have it in their resume. That was never me. That was never my idea. You know, and it would never be my idea just to work for some. Work. I want to go in there, work in the NFL just to have it on my resume. No. I want to work there to make an impact and just, you know, do something for myself. But, yeah.
Yeah, and admittedly, I was probably one of those people that, like, when I first got in, I did rookie ball. It was not as glamorous, but I had fun, right? And it was different and it was venturous. And at the time, I had, you know, some family stuff going on, so I was seasonal, and I was like, no, I'm not. You know, baseball's not for me. And I was working private setting, and I was like, there's just something that kept, you know, bringing me back. Like, I got to be missing something here. Or I don't know if just I got to give it one more try. Right. And if it doesn't work again, like I'm out for good. And I came back and, you know, again, you have your days, right? Like you have your days, even in the big leagues, you have your days where sometimes it feels really, really difficult. But ultimately, I'm glad I did that. Right. I'm glad I gave it a second chance. And, you know, I talk about this with people sometimes, like, players, when they get drafted, right, like they, you know, they don't get to choose where they go. And so sometimes an organization is a great fit for a guy and sometimes it's not. And that's why you see sometimes when people have a change of scenery, they end up flourishing because they just have, you know, different people around them, different coaches, different voices, different opportunities, whatever the case is. And I feel the same way for strength coaches and not just in professional baseball, right? Even college setting, high school setting, whatever it is, like sometimes the position is right, but maybe not the fit within the organization or within the coaching staff or whatever it is. And like, sometimes you have to go back and give it a second try with somebody else and it ends up working out well for you. So again, it boils down to, like we talk about, you know, if you really want to be there, you'll find a way. That's, you know,
100%. Yep. 100%.
How about continuing education resources? You mentioned the Bill Parcells book earlier. Are there any books that you would recommend to read, seminars to attend, podcasts? You got a list for us.
I'll put it right here.
Good.
I have a couple books here. I don't read books on like PDF or anything. I like the old school books. So this one right here, Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. I read it 2 years ago. And it really basically changed my life about how to think about sleep and how powerful sleep can be and for anybody, just not just a player. And he talks about basketball players and baseball players. So it's really, really good book that whenever we are in minor leagues and we get 17 hours on the bus, that's a book that can really help you understand how to program and how to do everything with the guys. I'm a big football guy, so this is one of my other books, Ray Lewis. I Feel Like Going On, my favorite player of all time. He just talks about his life and what he went through as a kid and as an adult. And I just like to see how other people struggle and they succeed and they play at the higher level. So, you know, going more into strength conditioning detail, this is my favorite strength conditioning book, Speed Strength by Joel Smith. It's just, I haven't found another book more specific about speed and power, about upper body, lower body, programming strength, isometrics, plyometrics progression, everything that you can think of. This book is, it just has everything. Just give you everything about biomechanics and training methods and everything. And for the strength coaches that are starting in this industry, this is one of my favorites. CEO Strength Coach, really basic, really easy to understand the book. And just, I feel like this book will open your eyes in a lot of ways of not only be strength coach, but think about ways that you can also make money besides your number one job, just being a strength coach, you know, marketing yourself, helping others, you know, talks about technology that can make your job easier, entrepreneur and things like that. So it's really easy book to read, and it's just, I recommend those four books for everybody. I have more, but those four right there are the ones that for me are my go-to books.
How about any seminars you've attended recently, any podcasts you've listened to that you like?
I'm not a big, being here in the Dominican, we don't have a lot of options for seminars and things like that. What I'm trying to do is I'm listening to a lot of podcasts about finance, just trying to make, how to understand how to work with money, understand how to manage the money, how to invest money, and things like that. And on the strength and conditioning side, my favorite podcast, it's called Samson Strength Podcast. He's very famous yet, but he's been out for a couple of years now. He just talked to a lot of like college strength coaches and different people from around the world. And but I'm not a big podcast guy. I just like to read and just talk to other people, like I'm talking to you. You know, pick up the phone and call, you know, Nelson in Cleveland, or call Maxie the other day, or just call Matt, and you just talk to them about questions and stupid things that I think about, and just ask some questions about a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
I got you. Wes, you've been super open, super honest. It's been really, really good talking to you. I want to do a lightning round, and then I promise I'll get you out of here. You good with that?
Let's do it.
All right. So first one, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
Tim Maxey. Yeah, 100%.
If you had one piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Barbell.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Professionally, won the World Series, of course. That's number one. Personally, just being able to help my family, you know, give them a better lifestyle and just help them to live better, basically. Yeah.
Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I love animals. I have six dogs, and I have a horse and a couple of chickens. So gotta be involved with animals. That's what I think. Well, that's what I used to be when I was a little kid. I wanted to be a veterinarian. So that was one thing that I love to do. To anything. So yeah.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Wes, it's really been good to get to know you on a more personal level here and hear your story and, you know, your perseverance, your hard work. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, where is the best place to go? Is social media a good spot, or should we go somewhere?
Yeah, social media, Instagram is Weston, WESSIN 99, I think it is, or 16. Let me go check. I think it's 16, Weston 16. Just Instagram, Facebook, it's Castiel or Weston. I just want to say something before we finish this. You know, I heard great things about your staff. I heard great things about you and Kyoti. And every player that I have something great to say and something good to say about you guys. The reason why I'm saying this is a lot of times you're on the other side of the laptop and on the side of the screen, and you just, you know, I feel like the job that you're doing with talking to so many guys is just, sometimes people take it for granted, and I know we don't talk a lot, I know we don't see each other a lot, but I think this is the right moment for me to say it. Just I appreciate what you do 100%, even if you don't see me, even if I don't say it to you often, and I know a lot of people feel like that. And just keep doing it, man, because you help so many guys and so many people around the world that whenever you stop doing this, you know, maybe we stop reaching some guys in different countries like myself, you know. So just keep doing it, and I really appreciate you guys. You guys are great strength coaches. Every guy that I have, everybody, I'm telling you, I have like 7-8 Boston guys, and everybody has something to say about you and him. So make sure that you tell him I'll say that. Tell Kyoichi I said that, and just keep doing what you guys have been doing, man. Thank you.
I definitely will, man. Yoshi is definitely the best, and he's helped me a ton in my career, and he and I get along really well, and we have a good thing going over here, and genuinely appreciate it. And, you know, we're connected now, man. So I would hope that we change this, right? You got my number, I got your number. Like, yeah, we can talk a lot more, and I know we don't see each other much when we play. Obviously, Eric is over there, and Eric and I are really close. So, you know, the line is always open, man. So don't hesitate to add me to your list of random calls anytime you want to talk shop. I'm genuinely open to talking. So I appreciate your time. Sure. Appreciate the kind words, and good luck in the WBC. Good luck this season. We'll definitely be talking soon.
Thank you, brother.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude part two of this two-part episode with Wes. I hope you enjoyed this one. I would highly recommend to anybody that wants to hear more about his story or get to know him more to reach out to him. He's very open. He's very honest. He's very easy to connect with. And I really enjoyed our conversation both here and on the World Series episode that I did with him and Taylor. So three things that I took from Wes in this part of the episode: be yourself, be confident, and exude a positive energy whenever possible. Don't be above any task that may help you get your foot in the door, and keeping your end goals in mind will help you to get through the difficult moments. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.